Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Reese Witherspoon gave this interview, and she said, and I thought it was really interesting, I can get pretty much anybody on the phone. That's a power flex right there. That's a power move. You can get anybody on the phone.
I would agree with it, though. I mean, Reese Witherspoon, she's like super sweet, and everybody likes her, and she knows everybody. Everybody wants to be Reese Witherspoon's friend.
And she has like a million really great businesses. She's into everything from like production to movies to fashion. Like she could get anybody on the phone. If I were to go through your phone right now, who would be the most famous person that you could text?
Oh, that would mean that I was in regular contact with them, or just the most famous person period in my phone.
Who's the most famous person in your phone? Because there's famous people on my phone that I could text that I'm certain they won't text me back.
Yeah.
Or call me back ever, probably.
Yeah. Let's see here. I mean, I got a bunch of comedians, but those don't really count, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, it depends on who the comedian is. You got Chris Rock. Can we text Chris Rock?
I don't
right
have
now?
Chris Rock's number. Right. I do have Bill Burr's phone number.
Yeah.
But I don't, it's not like he gave it to me. Like we did an interview and then I had it and he texted me back like to set it up.
Yes.
And then I still have it. And I mean, you know what? That was 4 or 5 years ago. So, I mean, obviously it could be a different number at this point, but you know, a lot of us, we keep our old numbers, right?
Well, it's really funny.
So
you
I captured
say that.
That number.
Yeah. It's funny you say that because sometimes we have like these interviews of famous people and like they're contacts and like if they're emergency situations, they give us the actual celebrity's cell phone number.
Right.
And I always feel funny about putting it in my phone, but there are some that I held on to. Like
just in case.
Well, especially like certain politicians, certain governors and
sure,
things like that.
You never know when you're going to need a get out of jail free card.
Well, not for that. But like sometimes when you have to go through all these like people's handlers, like
sure.
You never get them. So sometimes I'm like, well, maybe I'll just call them myself or maybe I'll just text them myself. Although I have to say I've never had the guts to actually do it.
Well, when you put somebody on the spot, they're far less likely to say no. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with us, we've got the card where we can be like, yeah, you're live.
Yeah.
So then they feel like they're being caught on a cell phone camera.
Who else is famous in your Rolodex that you could get on the phone at any given time? Anybody else?
Let me see here.
I have Jerry Springer's cell phone.
Wow.
Do you think Jerry Springer would answer if I called?
Not now.
No,
remember,
right?
We had a thing going with him for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think so. I have the VP of Lava Records. Of the head of A&R at Atlantic.
Nobody cares about those. Don't.
Unless you're in a band.
Right.
Right.
No one cares at all.
I'm still scrolling.
Oh, it's pretty pathetic, I guess.
Well, there's my niece and my nephew's numbers.
They'll answer if you call. Maybe not. If I call my nephew. Actually, I texted my nephew the other day to see what he wanted for Christmas. It took him 2 days to respond. I got, what? I can't even get my 11-year-old nephew to call me back, let alone Jerry Springer.
It's taken me so long to scroll here because I've copied this phone so many times. I have like 4 listings of every single person that's in here. Like, I really should clear this out.
Well, Lisa Lampanelli, comedian, but she'll call me right back because she's one of my best friends.
Oh, I've got Jay Phillips. He just won an Emmy.
Oh.
That's cool.
Yeah, let's call him.
No, he ain't going to pick up, though.
Right, definitely not.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2:00.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Every week we check in with Raven's wife, Felicia, to see how he's been behaving as a husband.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I heard yesterday was a big day because Raven put up the Christmas lights.
He started, yeah. He did.
You don't think it's too early? I mean, it's not even close to Thanksgiving. We have like 2 more weeks till Thanksgiving.
Oh, I just shampooed our carpet because that's the room that has the artificial tree. So that's going up like tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Let's go, babe.
The tree?
Yeah.
The tree's going up?
Yeah, and I think we're going to get another one for the basement. I want another one. I want like 3 trees going. There's going to be trees all over the place.
Too many trees.
I told him if he lets me have a tree in the basement, Anna, that he can decorate it as Star Wars.
Oh, that's why you want it.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
See? Mm-hmm. Then I get another tree.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. I'm going to need a new lightsaber.
What does a lightsaber have to do with decorating a tree?
Can you imagine how much easier it would be than sawing the thing down?
Okay.
I did get the lights up while it was nice and temperate out, which means that they're all set till Memorial Day weekend at least.
Perfect.
Wait. He didn't finish them, Anna. He got some of them up. So let's see if the rest of them go up before Christmas or if it's going to be, you know, freezing cold and he's out there complaining that I need lights outside. We'll see.
I can't believe you guys want to put up three trees. Like, for me, one tree, that's it. That's enough work.
No, no matter where I am, I want to feel the joy of Christmas and have it within my peripheral vision.
The one real one goes in the living room, the real one. And then there's a white artificial tree in one of the rooms. And then I don't know what's going to go in the basement.
I want one of those ones that looks like it's snowing outside.
Okay.
Yep. Oh, I was thinking that.
Yeah, see?
So you guys are on the same page. You guys are going to have a party at your house. It's going to be Christmas all year long, all the way through next 4th of July.
We are crushing it.
So how's Raven been behaving as a husband this week?
He's been all right, and it's been busy here. Like, I'm trying to get ready for the holidays. I took down all of our blinds and washed them, and that nearly broke me. He did help with the bigger ones. We didn't murder each other, so that was good.
She already did the leaves one time. Alicia did, right? Blew the leaves out one time.
The wind. It was awesome.
Wait a minute. Did you hear a few days ago we were talking about, I forgot what we were talking about, but he mentioned that he finds it so attractive when you strap the leaf blower on your back.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks it's the sexiest thing, that he hides inside and then watches you out the window while you're blowing the leaves.
That's right.
What a weirdo.
Yeah. What a weirdo.
She's good at it. And, you know, I bought it and it's like this super big, like, you know, it's a big one. It's the biggest one they had. You know what I mean? It's
the
most powerful thing ever that they had. But when she picks it up and throws it on, it's almost like a female Ghostbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, I don't know. There's something about it, it's hot.
Yeah.
And I don't appreciate doing the leaves anyways myself, so that it's a combination of things. Practical usage of it, and then the sensation of watching her do it, yeah.
So weird and creepy.
Yeah.
Just know that when you're outside blowing leaves or doing anything with that leaf blower, he's behind your front window, peeking up, staring at you through the window.
So creepy.
Right. So what kind of grade would you like to give him this week?
I'm going
to
get a C. I mean, I'm doing all these things, and I can barely get in and out of the shed because he just won't organize it. And, you know, so it's just going around doing these things and going to get things that are supposed to be stored in places and not being able to get to them is driving me absolutely insane.
She had a meltdown yesterday because she couldn't get to her checks in our safe news bulletin. Her checks weren't even in the safe.
Oh.
She had a meltdown about that.
Yeah, because he moved them.
You know what? I'll take my C and head out this way. C for careful when you walk around that stuff in the shed.
Mm.
Wow.
Five Calls says it all. 1-800-330-9999. You go to a restaurant, you get the food, it's terrible, and the waiter or the waitress comes over and they ask you how it is. What do you do in that situation?
Mm.
You know, Raven, I find this interesting because, you know, I'm a restaurant kid. My parents own restaurants. I grew up in the restaurant business, and I know that they would want to know if there was something wrong with something they served at one of their restaurants.
How often do you tell them, though, when you're out? Because I don't think you do, right?
I never do. So over the weekend, we had been going. We went to this newer restaurant, and it was busy. There was like a 40-minute wait. But Hayden, my older daughter, has been dying to go, and I've been promising her that we were going to go. So I go, well, wait, why not? You know, it's Friday night. We've got nothing to do. So we waited the whole time. We sat down. The waiter was fantastic. He was great. He was on top of the table. He was kind. All that good stuff. The food comes, and it's awful.
Wow.
Like, it is bad. She can't have a bite of her food. And then I thought she was just being picky, and I took a bite of it. I'm like, this is disgusting.
Yeah.
And even mine was pretty awful. So the waiter comes over, and he's like, how is everything? And I'm like, great. Thank you.
And I just walk away, and everybody's like, why? Why would you say that?
I already said to Hayden on the side, I go, don't worry. When we get home, mommy will make you macaroni and cheese. Like,
sure.
I already like kind of did like the side thing, like, don't worry about it.
But you're spending the cash. I mean, you're putting it out there.
And I'm always going to tip well on the service. It has nothing to do with that. I know the waiter didn't make the food. But I'm thinking, like, why don't I ever complain about food? Because I always am embarrassed. I don't want to send it back. I think something's going to happen. I feel like if they're already screwed it up so royally,
How are they going to get it better?
How's it going to get better?
Right now, I'm just going to wait longer. It's going to be, I'm more like the same as you. Now, my wife will send the food back because she's very particular when she orders, and she can't stand it when somebody doesn't write something down and then it comes out and it's wrong.
Yeah.
But she'll send it back and it always makes me cringe. But, you know, the truth is she, you know, right? Am I wrong or is it opposite ways? Because when I go, most of the time, I'll just eat it. Similar situation. We went out this past weekend with a bunch of friends, and this is a place that we've gone to for many, many, many years. We were craving the food. They got a new cook, apparently, and they don't know what they're doing. And we sent one of the meals back, and it came back out still wrong.
Right.
And another person at the same table had ordered the same thing, but 10 minutes after us, and theirs came out wrong after. And at that point, it was like, do we keep on complaining? It was like, no.
Well, you know,
I let it go because I'm going to go back there and have beers again.
As a restaurant kid who I've spent my life in restaurants, I always find that there's certain kind of people that send their food back.
Mm.
They're the ones that like eat half of it and then they send it back. And they're looking for something for free.
Right.
They're looking for a free dessert. They're looking for a free drink. They're looking for you to comp their meal,
right.
You know? And then there's the ones that like they take a bite and they're just so picky that nothing you're going to do is going to satisfy them. And I think I've become so jaded over the years by these people.
By those people that you won't actually say anything when there's a genuine problem.
Right. But
that's
what do you
situation.
Do? Five Calls says it all. 1-800-330-9999. You go into a restaurant, the food comes out, it's terrible. Do you send it back? Do you say something to the server, or do you do what I do? Absolutely nothing. I smile, I nod, say everything's great, and then I make a mental note never to go back there again. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
If it's something that can be fixed, I'm going to ask for it to be fixed. Like, if there's something missing from it, like a key ingredient, like, then I'm just going to ask for them to fix it. But if it's, like, really bad, yeah, I'm going to send it back, man. I'm not going to spend my, like, hard-earned money if there's something, like, wrong with the food, but I'm not a picky eater either.
What worries me is when a dinner takes 45 minutes to an hour, comes out.
That shouldn't bother you.
And it's not right. But if it comes out after all that time and it's not right, I'm afraid to send it back or have them remake it because I'm never going to eat.
You're starving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to eat.
No, it'll usually come back out pretty quickly if there's a mistake. I mean, I can only talk from experience with the restaurants.
Right, but that worries me, right? Because then what did they do with it? Do they cook it under a steam iron? How'd they make it so much faster this time?
Well,
they stole it from somebody.
But they definitely stole it from another table. But that's
right.
That's their problem. That's table six's problem, not yours.
I guess you're right. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you do? Do you tell them that the food stinks, or do you just keep your mouth shut?
No, hell yeah. I tell them it's bad. The other day, I got some chicken tenders, and they weren't, like, fried thoroughly. Like, you could basically taste the little frostbite in the middle. I let them have it. It's just like, how difficult can it possibly be to just be patient for 7 minutes?
Well, I guess that's
I don't
right.
think you should degrade them. It's not very nice.
Right. What are you, stupid?
I'm also a chef, so.
What are you, a stupid guy? Oh, well, that's different. Right. You're already judgy, inherently.
Yep.
In all walks of life. Doesn't even matter with food. I know you, chef. I know too many chefs.
Yeah, sometimes I can't turn it off. But it's here.
It's all right. Embrace it, though. That's cool. Know who you are, right? Know,
exactly.
Know thyself.
If you go to a restaurant and the food is terrible, do you speak up and do you say something? Or do you just keep your mouth shut and, you know, make a mental note that you're never going back there again?
I am one of those people that over the years, like, I'm not going to put up with it. I'm paying money for it. I'm sending the food back. I'm saying something. I'm talking to a manager. They're either going to comp the meal or, I mean, I don't even know if I'd want a gift card to go back there, but absolutely say something.
Wow.
Right?
You are.
Yep.
You're slamming the door on it, right?
Yep.
They're going to remake it. They might comp it on top of it. Sounds like you want it comped on top of it. And they might have to give you a gift card to come back.
I also want the dessert. Give me the dessert.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. I've done too many bad meals and keeping my mouth shut. If I'm opening my mouth to eat, I'm going to open my mouth to say something.
You know what?
All
and
right.
The way you say it, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe I've been wrong.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do? Do you tell them their food stinks?
I don't, because I'm afraid if I send it back that they're going to do something to my food. You know, I don't know if they'll put a hair in it or spit in it or drop it on the floor or something. But, you know, I've heard too many horror stories, and I'm a little paranoid to begin with. So, no, I don't say anything. I just don't go back.
And I feel the exact same way when my wife sends something back. And I worked in restaurants for years. Like, I don't think anybody actually does anything to the food.
Oh, I mean, I grew
it's
up in restaurants
rare.
all my whole life. That's what my dad does. Never in a million years as my father would ever that would cross his mind, or would he tolerate one of his workers to do something like that.
Right. I mean, I think any place that finds that they have somebody in there, they're getting rid of them immediately. It seems like that's like an urban legend or something, you know, you saw in a couple R-rated comedies. But
you can't.
But at the same time, is that chance.
Ultimately, a majority of the audience sends it back and speaks up. I don't know. I still don't think I'm going to. I think I'm still too shy.
If I send it back and it's a problem and you give me a gift card on top of it, I'll come back that one other time. And if there's another problem, I'm never entering that place again.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Just have to fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. Earlier, we were talking about what do you do when you go to a restaurant and the food isn't good? Do you complain? Do you not say anything? But it made me come up with a list of restaurant all I need to know about you, Raven.
What do you got?
If you don't leave a good tip because the food isn't good, not because the service isn't good, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, that's a fair statement. Yeah. If you ignore all your customers because you have a large party.
Oh,
can't stand that.
My gosh.
All of a sudden, they're such a big deal. I mean, I get it. You're going to get an automatic gratuity over there, and you've got a large party. But seriously, four toddlers throwing buttered pasta doesn't mean that I shouldn't be able to get my meal.
Big parties are a nightmare for restaurants. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
If you work at a restaurant and you don't check the silverware and see if it's dirty before you hand it to a customer, that's all I need to know about you.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
If you charge for soda refills, not only are you Satan, but that's all I need to know about you. I mean, seriously, you're already charging $2.53 for the soda as it is.
True.
I could have brought in a 2-liter, and I'm cool with that if I'm actually biting the bullet to get the soda. But you better bring me refills if I want them, and they better be included.
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
So I went to Red Lobster last week, and it was all-you-can-eat shrimp. So it's really slow. It was like, I think it was maybe a Monday or a Tuesday night, and the waitress never removed a plate from our table.
Oh.
She kept putting our plates with all you can eat. You know, we had a lot going on. So the plates were like, we were trying to like clean the plates up a little bit, and we were piling them like high onto the table. And even when dessert came, like, and it was fish plates, so it was like, you know, you don't want to like have your dessert with all these plates. She reached over the table like we were all making desks to see where she was going to put the dessert plates. She reached over like completely and like put the dessert plates like on the other side of the table.
What you're saying is it's my biggest pet peeve. I lose my mind over this is when they don't clear the table. I will stack everything and put it right at the edge of the table and say, can you please take it? That I will speak up about because it makes me so mental.
I said at the end because I thought it was like maybe a joke.
Here's the bigger question. At an all-you-can-eat shrimp buffet, how many shrimp do you eat?
I was doing like low carb, so I was able, and I was really hungry, so... Mm-hmm. I had like the skewers that aren't really fattening. So I had like I got maybe 6 skewers.
Oh, that's not so bad with 6.
I mean, 6 skewers, that's like 30 shrimp.
That's a lot of shrimp. Wait, how many are on a stick?
Really, it's like 6.
Oh, there's like 6 like medium size.
Right.
And they were only
36 shrimp
calories like for 2 skewers.
Yeah.
So what's
that? Yeah, so it's basically health food then.
Right. 36 shrimp. I eat 36 shrimp if I really committed myself to it.
Drowning in butter and garlic.
That's right. All right.
That's a lot of plates. I'm just going to say that is an awful lot of plates if there's 4 of you at dinner and you're good for 6 skewers of shrimp yourself.
They should have cleared the plates, though.
Of course.
1-800-330-9999. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Sometimes you say things that are just corny. You don't even mean for it. They just come out of your mouth and you're like, why did I say that? I sound so, I don't know, out of it. 1-800-330-9999. What's that corny, outdated, or just plain dumb thing that you say? Raven.
You just can't wait.
I can't wait.
Can't wait.
Okay.
Go ahead.
During the show this week, this happened on the air.
You know what? There's actually a doozy in there. I hope you picked that one.
What? What, Raven? What is it? Hold on, Raven. One more time. What is that?
You know what? There's actually a doozy in there.
A doozy?
It's a doozy.
It's a doozy. Hold on.
I'm not even sure what a doozy means, to tell you the truth. Doozy. Yeah, it made me sound like I was 1,000.
Right.
I did that.
There's a doozy in there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a doozy.
I'm Googling it right now. I don't even know where doozy comes from.
Well, why don't you Google, all right?
Doozy.
I want to like make a remix out of it.
Yeah.
Doozy.
Doozy. Yeah.
Something outstanding or unique of its kind. It's going to be a doozy of a black eye is the example that they give.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? There's actually a doozy in there.
Is there?
It's a doozy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was laughing about it because oddly, the exact same day during Can't Be Raven, which is when you challenge Raven in pop culture trivia every day, this happened.
Who plays the lead, John Dutton?
Oh, rats. I don't know.
That's all right.
Rats.
Rats. Well, one more time. What is that? What is it?
Rats.
Oh, rats.
Oh, rats. Mm-hmm. Oh, rats.
Yeah.
Oh, rats.
And I have to tell you, I'm poking fun of Raven. I'm kidding, of course. But I say things all the time that when I say them out loud, I go, what? Like, what is wrong with me? And you know what my problem is? Is that because I have a toddler, Dakota, she's three almost.
Yeah.
I talk like a baby to her,
right?
And then it comes out in like real life. I have this like broken leg thing going on. I have a busted knee, and I always say ouchies, ouchies, which normal people don't say ouchies,
right?
All the time.
If they hear another adult say that, it seems a little bit weird.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I've been saying that a lot, which is very corny.
Would you?
It's a doozy.
The derivative, by the way, of doozy suggests that doozy is a derivative of daisy and began to be used in about 1916. A doozy is something extraordinary, one of a kind. So if it was a daisy back in the day.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Duesenberg Automobile also gave the word a boost in the 1920s and 30s. These vehicles were known as doozies.
We asked on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, what's the corny thing you say? Diane wrote, whenever I say for Pete's sake, my kids always ask me, who is Pete?
Right.
For Pete's sake.
Right.
Who is Pete?
Right.
We
and why does his sake matter?
And why do we keep saying that? Kathy wrote, son of a sea biscuit. Oh, I like that one. Son of a sea biscuit.
I like the ones that, yes, you know, it's your swear, but it's not a swear. Those ones I feel like they can stick around. They stand the test of time.
If you missed it, Raven said this.
You know what? There's actually a doozy in there.
A what, Raven?
It's a doozy.
What? It's a doozy.
Doozy.
Yep. Yeah. Earlier this week on the show, Raven said doozy, and I have not let him live it down since.
It's like I'm 1,000 years old.
Right. Who says doozy?
I mean, it's just something that I said.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to be judged for it over and over again in front of everybody, but there it is.
And then we had a listener call in during Can't Be Raven, the pop culture trivia, and she said this.
Oh, rats. I don't know.
That's all right. Yeah. Oh, rats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's some things that are so corny that you can't help it. They just come out of your mouth and you can't pull them back in, you know?
It's a flashback to yesteryear.
1-800-330-9999. What's your corny phrase?
I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but I say it all the time. I say shucks. I do it because I was trying not to swear, and so then that became the new quote-unquote swear. So it's always, ah, shucks this and ah, shucks that. And then as soon as I say it, I'm embarrassed because everyone looks at me like I am just straight off the farm, just coming, like, they don't know how to take me. And I'm like, shucks. And then it leads to more shucks.
In your mind, is shoot too far? Shoot is a swear. Like if you said shoot instead of shucks, shoot would be, that's like a swear almost.
Oh, I would
disagree. Right?
I would say shoot is more offensive than shucks.
See, look at you. Look at you both.
Look at us.
It's just a word.
Yeah, I also just like the K of shucks. It just has a little more punch.
Okay.
Like a shucks.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's that corny phrase, but you just can't help but say it?
Well, I still say that old phrase, it's all that in a bag of chips.
There are a good portion of people listening right now who are under the age of 30 that have no idea what you're talking about.
No idea.
I know. I don't even know where it came from originally. But
the 90s.
I know, people used to say, oh,
yeah.
Oh, I did. Exactly. The decade of the 90s. And just anything that would happen, I'm like, oh, that food was all that in a bag of chips.
Yeah.
And I love saying it, and I know it annoys pretty much everybody, but I can't. I'm never going to stop.
All right, you're over-explaining it now, sir. All right, just let it go.
Understand.
All right, let it go. Try not to say it the rest of the afternoon. How about that?
Talk to the hand because your breath I can't stand.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's that corny phrase that you can't help but say it?
Geez Louise, and I say it even cornier, like, geez Louise.
Yeah, that's an old one and a corny one. And
that's similar to my girlfriend Maria, who says heavens to Betsy. I'm like, who is Betsy? And what does that even mean?
Gosh, it sounds terrible, but I see Karen saying all of these things. I'm sorry. I'm sure you're a lovely person.
Who is Louise for Geez Louise and Betsy for heavens to Betsy? Who are these old women?
No idea.
Right. And what did the doctor order?
What did the doctor order? You're right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's that corny phrase you can't help but say?
Okie dokie.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it sounds like a really lame married couple that just kind of presents itself as an affirmation.
What?
Are you sure that's not what you're already doing, right? Because yeah. It feels like a dad joke in itself. It feels like a two-word dad joke.
I say okie dokie sometimes. Yeah. Do I? I do. I feel like I do say that. Okie dokie. Okie dokie is like when I'm just dismissive in the end of the conversation and I just want it to end and I'm just agreeing just to agree.
I don't even hear your words when you're at that mood in the conversation. It's all the same to me.
Okie dokie.
I don't care what your phrase is at that point. Yeah. I know it's the feeling when you're exuding it. I've got it. Okie dokie. Phone call over, sir.
It all started because earlier this week, Raven said this on the air.
You know what? There's actually a doozy in there.
A what, Raven?
There was a doozy coming up.
A doozy.
That's
right.
A
doozy,
which of course gave me great pleasure because what person says doozy? Doozy.
People that ride horses that start their cars by winding them up in the morning or something like that. People that are discovering flight.
Oh, it's a doozy.
We asked at our Facebook page, what is the corny phrase that you say that you just can't help yourself? And Joe wrote groovy. And it's so funny because whenever I hear somebody say groovy, I immediately think this.
Groovy, baby.
Don't you immediately go to Austin Powers?
As soon as I hear groovy, I think of somebody with their shirt off and a lot of chest hair. So I guess it's kind of the same thing. It's true.
On our text line, I worked at Chick-fil-A for over a year and I had to stop because whenever somebody said thank you, I always said my pleasure. And now I always say my pleasure. That's a hard one. My pleasure.
I mean, I don't think that that's that bad.
That's corny.
I mean, it's a little corny. It's still polite.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's that corny thing you say?
All right. So you just said, geez Louise and who's Louise?
Yeah.
I grew up listening to my mother say, and now I say it, but Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
All of them.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
All of them together.
In one SUV.
And we know who all three of them are.
Yeah, it's true.
And where they're headed. Ann Raven, what's that corny phrase you just keep saying?
Well, I work with a lot of young people, and I always say, oh, that was from the year of the flood. And they're like, what year was that? And I go, you know, like Noah. And they're like, Noah who? And I'm like, forget it.
Right. They don't get it. Right.
I didn't understand either.
I was Noah. Yeah.
Took a minute, right. Thank you for the reveal.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. You have a corny phrase that you say?
Yes, I talk about corny phrases all the time, and it drives my daughter crazy.
Oh, what is it? What's like the one thing you say?
I say, I'm going to hit the hay, meaning I'm going to bed, or my tummy hurts. And she's like, it's a stomach. It's not a tummy. You're not fine.
Oh, no, I always say tummy, too. Like, that one's okay. Hit the hay's got to go, though.
I mean, how many of us have actually slept in a barn before anyways, right? And Raven, what's that corny phrase that you say?
So when I'm coaching and I need to drop an F word, yelling it, I'll yell Fraggle Rock or Fran Tarkenton.
Right, because they just both feel aggressive coming out your mouth. Right.
To a seven-year-old.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. No, they know when Fraggle Rock comes. Like, they never saw the show if they were seven now, but now they know that that's a bad thing.
There's a majority of people that have no idea what Fraggle Rock even is, or how to get there, for that matter. Down at Fraggle Rock.
That's sick.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's that corny phrase that you just say? You can't help yourself.
I can't stop saying howdy.
Are you a cowgirl? Just asking.
No, my dad's from Texas, and I think I just grew up learning, hearing him say it. And so I'll just say howdy sometimes when I answer the phone. And man, my friends give me such crap about it.
You know what? I lived down south for a while myself, and it was the quickest thing that I ever picked up. And I still say some stuff. I still say y'all. I still say reckon from time to time. It just feels good. It rolls off the tongue well. How do? You can do howdy, how do.
What?
How do.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, that, yeah.
Nope, you don't like that one either,
nope.
Huh?
Nope.
All right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's that corny phrase that you can't help but say?
I cannot stop saying, oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That one I like. But see, that one, when I say it, I don't say it seriously. I'm not like, oh, boy.
Yeah,
it's that, like, I mean, it sarcastically.
Just because you put a flare on it like a carnival barker doesn't make it less corny.
Oh, boy.
Maybe makes it more corny.
Really excited about people coming to his house. Oh, boy.
Oh, God, it's a surprise. I don't even know.
Ding dong. Oh, boy.
All right, stop. That's enough. Seriously.
I can't. No, now I want to say it all the time.
I think we can go without.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
What did you do this week to earn your margarita? 1-800-330-9999. Here's Dakota explaining what she did at school that got me my first ever email from a teacher saying she had done something wrong.
I ate my friend.
What did she say? Hold on, one more time.
I ate my friend.
She ate her friend.
Yeah.
She bit another child on the playground when they were pretending to be dinosaurs and growling at each other. I was horrified, mortified, all those things.
It's her bestie. She apologized. They're back at it right now.
Yep, but can you imagine? It was the first time I'd ever gotten a note home from a parent, from a teacher before. This was a conversation I had with Dakota.
You gonna do it again?
I don't bite anymore.
What happened?
I don't bite anymore.
You don't. You're a good girl.
I'm a good girl.
Yes, you are.
She's a good girl now. She doesn't bite anymore. Yeah. Let's hope.
She ate her friend.
I ate my friend. But well, I was talking about this yesterday, and I got so many emails from people sending me, like, the notes, like, from the teachers that they've gotten.
Sure.
Let me read a couple of them because they're hilarious. Today there was an argument about seating assignments in circle time. Ashton was not happy about the friend he had to sit next to, so it turned into a wrestling match, and then he headbanged the kid against the floor. The rest of the day was great, though.
What? Did they give you hope at the end?
Yeah.
That's good.
Today, Christopher cut another student's hair during art. Oh, my gosh. This one. Jennifer had a rough day and threw a marker at another student out of anger. Then the student ran after her, knocked her down, punched her in the back. They eventually worked it out.
Right. They tired
you.
Out.
Thank you for everybody that sent me those. They made me feel better. I was feeling really bad about myself as a parent. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you do this week to earn your margarita?
Oof, I so earned this. So my kids were playing hide and seek. I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. So my 6-year-old son comes to me and he says he can't find his little brother. And so at first I'm like, okay, you know, he'll be around. Well, then it's 30 minutes later and we couldn't find him. Finally, we found him in a closet on his iPad, and I really breathed a sigh of relief, and I so needed that margarita.
That is my nightmare. I don't like hide and seek. I think it just opens up too many opportunities for them to try to go outside to hide, and that, like, we're just like getting stuck somewhere and then I can't find them. I don't think it's a safe game.
Well, it was an awesome game, though, when you were younger. I mean, I used to love playing hide and seek. On the other hand, though, if you're hiding in a closet too long, everybody knows that's where the demons are. Mm. So keep an eye on your son, all right?
I have a rule when the kids play hide and seek is that they always have to have 1 foot out. So I have to
like, what? What kind of game is that?
I want to be able to see their foot. I want to see their foot so I know they're okay.
What is that?
So like they don't lock themselves in some things. They always have to keep 1 foot out. I made that up myself. I thought it was smart.
Yeah, except for when the name of the game is hide and seek.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you do this week to earn your margarita?
So this week I earned my margarita because my son, who is a freshman to college away from home, called me to tell me that he's not going to be coming home for Thanksgiving this year. No, he's going to be going to his new girlfriend's parents' house.
Oh.
This is the beginning.
It's the beginning of the end.
Yep.
It's a terrible, terrible thing. I'm so sorry.
Oh, mom's getting wasted tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
Take it easy, mom. It's going to be okay.
You know,
he still loves you.
I have girls, but I feel like all my girlfriends that have boys are terrified of the moment when the girlfriends start coming in because they're afraid they're going to lose their sons.
Yeah.
And I've seen it happen like a few times, and it's heartbreaking, and it's, oh, man, it's tough.
Yeah, he'll
wish
always be my baby.
Yeah, I don't think you're helping, Anna. Right?
All right, yeah, sorry.
Enjoy your margarita.
Yeah, get up two margaritas. This past weekend was the New York City Marathon, celebrating its 50th anniversary. And for a lot of people, doing the marathon is very, very emotional. But what do you do when you come in dead last? That's exactly what Freddie Bangwa did. She's a 42-year-old civil engineer from Jersey. Freddie, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Freddie, you are done now, right? You're home, right? You're at somewhere where there's a phone. You're not jogging right at this moment, are you?
I am not.
I make fun, but I think to myself, Anna, like, what an incredible feat it is to you know, try and accomplish something like that. 26 miles. I'm not sure I could do it if my life depended on it right now.
Oh, no, me neither. No, 100%. So I can't even begin to tell you the respect I have for even being able to lace up your sneakers and to do it. First, let's get to the hard facts. Kenya's Albert Courier, he won the race. He won $100,000. His finishing time was 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 22 seconds.
That's amazing.
Freddie, what was your finishing time?
I believe it was 10 hours, 54 minutes, and some odd seconds.
I always think that if I did it, I think like you would certainly beat me 100%. Like I would have to take a nap at some point in between.
Yeah. I mean, Freddie, you're like, I think it's 10 hours, 54. You know what it is. Yeah. All right. I mean, if you want to round up 5 minutes, that's fine. I'm never going to judge you here, but come on.
So I know that in 2019, you tried to finish the marathon and it didn't work out so well. What happened then?
I just wasn't feeling well. Like my head, I was dizzy. So I had completed 2015, 16, 17, and 18. So I knew what to expect, at what point my body would really start to hurt. But really close to the start of the race, my head was just not in it. Like I was dizzy. I felt like I was going to faint. And I went up to mile 18, I guess. And I was like, I don't think I should finish this.
So you had something to prove this year. And I heard your daughters had to come help you out. What happened at mile 16?
Oh, my sisters.
Your sisters?
Yes. They came and met me with my walker so that I was able to finish with that.
Because you have conditions too, right? You have some health issues.
Yeah. I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis in 2020. So it's been about a year and I'm trying to figure out with medications and stuff what is working best.
Yeah, that's such a thing, right, too, Freddie. I mean, I have psoriatic arthritis myself, so getting your medication dialed in. And then, of course, you know, even when you've got your meds pretty well dialed in, when you put your body through something like that, that much impact, you have to question every time there's a sore, Anna, you have to question to yourself, is that a normal ache from the activity I'm doing, or am I getting an inflammatory moment right now, and I actually going to hurt myself, you know? So, that's quite a thing to take on, Freddie.
What was the best moment throughout the entire race?
The best moment, I think, it was just meeting Mario along the way. We had started together at mile 10, and we completed the rest of the course together. And I thought that the walker was going to be my like saving grace to finish this, but I really think it was just having him there.
Having a companion makes all the difference.
You make such great bonds and friendships when you put your body and your mind behind something like this. So are you going to do it again next year?
I am not sure. But I really, when I was doing it this past time, I was kind of telling myself, this is probably going to be the last one.
Well, congratulations on crossing that finish line. I mean, it's like funny because you hear about it. You're like, oh, she came in last. But the truth of the matter is even being able to do that race at all is such an incredible accomplishment.
So many people didn't finish, of course.
So, so congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Nick and Kate. Kate, what's going on?
I need you guys to help me because Nick is being a little bit crazy with trying to tell me like how to spend my money and that I have a problem because I like to enjoy my life.
What does that mean? Nick, well, maybe I should have started with you. Why does Kate like to enjoy her life and you have a problem with it?
Oh, I don't know. I guess like one of her excuses is that I'm young right now, right? But I mean, of course, it's like really nice to go to like really fancy restaurants, go out with friends to like really nice clubs. But at the same time, it's like she doesn't make that kind of money. And if I do see a future with her, I feel like it's kind of my opportunity to just let her see the light in what we could see in like 2 to 5 years in terms of like debt and whatnot.
So let me get this straight. So you guys are dating then. Obviously, you're not married at this point. How long have you guys been dating?
About 6 months.
I was actually just reading the other day, Anna, that everybody's spending habits are way up right now at the moment, right? Because things are open again. You know, they're trying to say that this is part of the supply chain stuff or whatever is because we want what we want right now. And we've got some money in our pockets and we're spending like crazy. And by money in the pocket, it doesn't always mean cash on hand. It means, you know, we've got space on our credit cards, right? So is this how you've been spending forever? Kate, is this part of your normal spending habits? Like, do you carry debt? What I mean is, are you in danger or are you, you know, you're always fine?
I mean, I have a little bit of debt, right? But but I could die tomorrow. And if I die tomorrow, am I going to be mad about my debt or am I going to be mad that I didn't do things that I enjoyed, you know?
Yeah, that wasn't really a real answer, but okay. That sounds like at least $20,000.
I mean, it's honest.
Right? No, it's fine. Right? And I'm not judging you. I've carried so much debt before.
Right. So, Nick, I don't quite understand. You want her to stop spending money? You want to control the amount of money she spends? Your finances are not together, correct? You each have separate accounts if you've only been dating 6 months.
Yeah. I just feel like the last couple times that we've gone out with our friends, like, you know, she'll just make it a thing like, oh, let me just take care of it. And like the bill would be like $300-$400. And then after the fact, she'd be in the midst of saying like, oh, damn, I'm so behind in money and all these bills. And it just feels so like I'm drowning in the debt. Like she sounds like a commercial. So I tell her like, hey, let me just take a look. And it just looks like frivolous spending. It's really not anything. Like, I know she's just trying to be like the white knight. Every time we go out, she wants to take out her friends. She wants to take me. And I'm like, hey, let me help you here. And she always just puts it down. Like she just wants to be in the driver's seat. It makes more practical sense for her to just, you know, maybe she's really smart. So maybe like, maybe get a better job and then spend that kind of money if she had it.
So ultimately, what we're asking the audience is, do you have a right, Nick, to judge or have a say in how Kate spends her money when you've only been dating 6 months? Is that what you're asking, Kate?
Yeah, like I just feel like I shouldn't get hounded so much. I mean, occasionally I get stressed, but I make my minimum payment. It's not like I have creditors calling me all the time. Like, yeah, I have a good time, but I just don't think it's like that out of hand. I just want to have fun.
Wow, let's see what the audience has to say.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Nick and Kate have only been dating for 6 months, but Nick has become very consumed with the way that Kate spends her money because he thinks that she's got the YOLO mentality. Mm-hmm. Like you only live once. She wants to go out. She spends things. She picks up tabs when they go out to dinner with friends because, you know what? Why not? Live in the moment.
Let's face it. Right now is a tricky time for finances, too, right? Because you just don't even know what is the next year going to look like with inflation and so forth. Listen, if you're 6 months in and you're trying to control what somebody else is doing in a relationship, that's a problem, right? But if you're 6 months in and you're saying, I value our relationship, I think that there's a future for us here, but this way that you spend money concerns me, then that's something else.
Yeah, what do you think? Whose side are you on? Does Nick have a right to be telling her what to do with her money 6 months in? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
Oh, I'm on his side. If by paying just the minimum payment on her credit card, she's not living in reality.
1-800-330-9999. What do you think about this? Whose side are you on? It's Couples Court. Nick and Kate have only been dating for 6 months, but Kate loves to spend money. She racks up a little bit of debt. She says, I'm going to pay it off. I have a job. I want to live my life like I'm living right now.
Yeah, a lot of people are feeling this way right now, right? You want to get out and have some fun. You've been cooped up. You know, maybe you've got some money in your pocket for the first time in a while, whether it's plastic or real. You know, you want to go out there and spend.
But Nick disagrees. Nick has been arguing with her because he's like, if we're going to have a future together, you can't be spending all this money. Now, here's the question. At 6 months into a relationship, does he have a say in how she spends her money? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I don't even know if there's a side. I'm no marriage counselor, but I've watched analyze this and analyze that, right? So I got I got some good advice for this guy, Nick. If you're having problems like this 6 months in, you got to get out, man. It's not going to get better. At 6 months, you shouldn't have these issues, right? Once you get married and you have kids, finances become a big deal. And if you have problems with someone spending above their means, it's only going to get worse. And quite frankly, you just end up divorced anyway. So just don't even bother.
Thank you
for the call. Have a good morning.
So dark.
And the truth is, though, is if you have philosophical differences 6 months in, people think that those are going to change. They're not. Yeah. They don't change. They get bigger.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I just heard what Raven said. It's so true. That's what I want to say. These just get bigger. They need to figure this out now because this is going to be a fight they have forever.
Yeah. The worst thing is when you're in a relationship, you really, really care about somebody. So you think that you can change them. Is that you should not try to change somebody. And the older you get, the less people want to change. People seldom ever change.
It's a very bad idea.
Yeah, no.
No.
Absolutely
so,
true.
I don't know whose side I am. I think if that big red flag, they're in trouble.
Thank you. I'm torn on this. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. Actually, I'm not on either side. It sounds to me like they might have different goals in life and different ways of viewing how they're going to manage their money. I don't think that it's a relationship that's going to make it.
I just have to say that I feel like my husband and I are very different when it comes to money, you know?
Sure.
But over the years, we've certainly have made a way that we're both happy. I don't think that you just throw a relationship out the window. I think you just eventually have to get on the same page about compromise.
Let's be real, though. You guys got together in college. First off, finances wasn't really a thing because you didn't, neither of you had money coming in. So you had to figure out your relationship before you got into figuring out how it was going to be that you were going to manage your money once you were married.
Yeah.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Nick, our audience agreed with you. Obviously, Kate, if he's been with you for 6 months, he genuinely cares about you and your future together. And financial stability going into a relationship is important. And it's actually one of the reasons why a lot of couples fail. So right. If he's trying to help you out now, maybe you should embrace that because he sees things that you don't.
I just kind of feel like he's trying to be my dad, but okay.
And you know what? I think you need to keep an eye on that, too. And Nick, you know, good warning for you is that we seldom change, right? We can adapt our habits a little bit and we can compromise, especially when we're working together. But if there's so much resistance and resistance leads to resentment, then this is not a good match for you guys in that way, right? It's something that you need to consider.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, I agree.
Nick, you don't want to feel like your father, right? I'm just...
Yeah, I'm definitely not trying to be a patrolman on this. I don't know. I'm just more on the safe side with my money. So I just try to, like, give her advice that's good as opposed to something that's more reprimanding. I can't do that.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email at couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot up to $500 thanks to HelloFresh. This holiday season, let HelloFresh send you everything you need to make delicious meals in about 30 minutes. Get 14 free meals plus 3 free gifts during their Black Friday sale with code ANNA14 at HelloFresh.com/ANNA14. Matt, you ready to play?
Yeah.
All right. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Matt.
Okay.
Thank you.
So Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, he can't hear us. It's a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven, but you beat him today. $500. Ready?
Oh, yes.
Number one, this Sunday, Adele will sit down for an interview titled One Night Only on CBS. Who will host the interview?
I don't know.
Number two, Reese Witherspoon says she can get anyone on the phone. Anyone. She shares 2 children with what famous actor that she co-starred with in Cruel Intentions?
I'm not sure.
That's okay. Number three, it's Disney Plus Day, celebrating 2 years of the streaming service with 25 new premieres. Disney World is celebrating what anniversary this year?
50th?
Number four, the book, Oh, the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss, is going to be an animated musical in 2027. What's the elephant's name from multiple Dr. Seuss books? Also, he hears a who and hatches the egg.
Horton.
And number five, Paris Hilton married Carter Room, an entrepreneur in L.A. yesterday. It's all been filmed for a 13-episode special titled Paris in Love on Peacock. What's Paris's sister's name? Time's up, Matt.
Okay.
Let me bring Raven back in. Okay.
Thank you.
It's all right.
Yo.
All right, Matt got 2 out of 5.
All right, Matt. Let's see how I do. $500.
Number one, this Sunday, Adele will sit down for an interview titled One Night Only on CBS. Who will host the interview?
Oprah. She gets all the biggest ones. And Imagine the Money Machine CD is on sale next week.
Yep. Number two, Reese Witherspoon says she can get anyone on the phone. Anyone.
Hmm.
She shares 2 children with what famous actor that she co-starred with in Cruel Intentions?
That's Ryan Felipe, whatever, however you want to pronounce it.
Yes, Ryan Felipe. I was just thinking about that because I'm like, where did Ryan Felipe go? Reese Witherspoon is one of the richest people in the world right now. She's got a million different things going on, and mm-hmm. we haven't heard from him since he cheated on her and got a divorce.
That's not true. He's actually been pretty good himself, too. He does a lot of artsy films now.
Number three, it's Disney Plus Day, celebrating 2 years of the streaming service with 25 new premieres. Disney World is celebrating what anniversary this year?
Isn't it the... Oh, gosh, I'm going to get this wrong. 50th?
Yes.
Yeah!
Number four, the book, Oh, the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss is going to be an animated musical movie in 2027. Okay. What's the name of the elephant from multiple Dr. Seuss books? He hears a who and hatches the egg.
Oh, gosh. I should know this. I'm just going to guess elephant.
No, it's Horton.
Oh,
Horton,
yes.
Here's a who. Oh, Horton hatches the egg.
Right.
Number four, Paris Hilton married Carter Room, an entrepreneur in L.A. yesterday. It's been all filmed for a 13-episode special titled Paris in Love that'll come out on Peacock.
Oh, that's nice.
What's Paris's sister's name?
Nikki.
Nikki. Matt, he beat you 4-2 this morning. That does get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
All right. Thank you. My name is Matt. I can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for playing, Matt. Hold on the line.
Better luck next time. Thank you. Enjoy that shirt, bro. $600 Monday.
Yeah, it's a good amount of cash. Think you have what it takes to beat Raven? You could always sign up to play at annonraven.com.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.